Welcome, everybody. It is the 6th of January, about 1:04 p.m. Happy New Year to everyone. Happy 2026. I can't believe we're already that far in the future. It's pretty great. So I hope you all had a great time celebrating with friends and family. We are starting our work session this afternoon in Douglas County with a conversation with the Colorado Retail Council, and we're deeply honored to welcome all of our guests, both in person and online. We'll have some preliminary comments and probably ask our counsel, Jeff Garcia, who drafted the original resolution, to brief everybody for a moment. But
can we also hear from Josh Hamblin?
Absolutely. Maybe absolutely. That would be fine. We'll also hear from Josh Hanfling, who is on as well. Before we jump into that, let's go ahead and do introductions. I'll begin on my left.
George Steele, Douglas County Commissioner.
Jason Kennedy, Douglas County Sheriff's Office Undersheriff.
George Rockler, District Attorney.
Jeff Garcia, County Attorney.
David Turner, Asset Protection Manager for Walgreens.
Katie Wolf-Ladius for Colorado Retail Council.
Darren Winkley, Douglas County Sheriff.
County Commissioner Kevin Van Winkle.
Nick Ventrella with Target, I'm the ORC investigator for the state of Colorado.
Adriana Lara, I'm with Target, Government Affairs.
Great. Dan Avery, Douglas County Attorney.
I'm Caroline Frizzell, Director of Communication and Public
Affairs for the county. My name is Abe. I'm a commissioner. We'll go online.
And good afternoon. Ryan Ersick with Walmart Public Affairs and Government Relations.
Good afternoon. I'm Chris Howes. I've represented the Retail Council in Colorado for 28 years. Commissioners, Sheriff, DA Brockler, great to see you. Thank you for the conversation.
Tom Carpenter, Asset Protection Director for Target Stores in Colorado, Oklahoma, and Kansas.
Chris Kohler, Walmart's Global Investigations Division. I cover New Mexico, Colorado, Wyoming, and West Texas.
Brock Herzberg, a lobbyist here working with Chris and Angie for the Retail Council. Chris and Katie, I mean, sorry.
Yeah. Landon Gates, also helping House Wolf lobby for the Retail Council.
Fuel Marketers, Colorado Convenience Store Association.
It was Greer Bailey. Yeah. Sorry, it was mumbled. Greer Bailey.
Yeah, sorry.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Mariah Cook with Sewell Hanfin Public Affairs, representing Douglas County.
Page 2.
I hope this is Josh Hanfling. I don't know if maybe I'm last. Alden Wheeler's on the call as well, who's my executive assistant, help us out. If there's nobody else, I'll just say a few words, if that's okay, commissioners?
Please.
So Josh Hanfling, contract lobbyist with my team here for Douglas County. And really appreciate all you guys getting on the call together and take time. This is a great example where a lot of the, my state world and my local world collide. So I really appreciate the Retail Council reaching out to me with concerns about this. And as I expressed to them on behalf of the commissioners, this was really a conversation starter in Douglas County as a way to, try to address a problem. So I really appreciate everybody's time on this to try to, start and have that conversation. So I'll be here to listen, but happy to help with anything we need to do moving forward. So. Thank you, commissioners, and Mr. D and the sheriff and everybody else for your work on this.
Great, Josh. Well, thank you so much. And for everybody online and everyone in the room, on behalf of Douglas County, we just want to say thank you. The work and the effort that you do in our community is deeply significant, and it impacts our citizens on a daily basis. They benefit from retail. And we do too. I mean, a lot of our sales tax revenue that we spend on behalf of our citizens comes from your stores. So one of the reasons that we're here today is we've, been having this active conversation around public safety in our community. And I often say I think we have the best DA and sheriff in the state. I hope many people would agree. But I don't flatter. The reality is that both of them kicked off their terms in office by saying that we are not casual about public safety in Douglas County. And unfortunately, as you've seen in the zeitgeist, there are a lot of people in the culture that talk about walking into places like a Home Depot and walking out with thousands of dollars of drills and nothing happens. And it's at a point where folks even say, hey, did you know you can go to a big box store and nothing happens to you? I know that you don't share that belief, and that the work of our public safety officials and our prosecutors and our business partners, you are reporting and you are reaching out and you are making sure that all that asset recovery is going on. But part of what we're attempting to do in Douglas County is send a message to the bad guys, because the bad guys talk. Do not come and steal out of our big box store, out of any place in Douglas County, but particularly the biggest targets, which are, no pun intended, Target, right? Walmart, many of the entities that you all represent. So we're really here as friends. We believe in the work that you're doing. We support the entities that you all represent, and we want to make sure that we're moving forward in a way that supports you and does not penalize you. I think that's the biggest message and takeaway from today, is nothing we're doing today or would do is intended to penalize the retail industry. More than anything, it's about sending a message that's coordinated with law enforcement. Let me turn it over to our county attorney, Jeff Garcia, with some detail.
Sure, let me just kind of lay some groundwork for it. And I think everyone in this room already has benefited from the ordinance on the first reading, because there was a lot of publicity about this, and a lot of publicity saying, don't go steal in Douglas County, which is great, because hopefully people have heard that and said, we're not going to go steal in Douglas County. But before that started, with the advent of the 23rd Judicial District and our wonderful Sheriff's Department, we've made safety a paramount issue in the county. And we've had ongoing conversations with the public about safety. And one of the issues that came up, both from residents, citizens, and business owners, is the change in retail theft. That it isn't kids going in and stealing, it is organized crime committing retail theft. It is all over Fox News, it's all over the television. We have individuals who've come to us who said they've been personally witnesses to this occurring. Again, big box stores were the ones that mainly came about it, but a lot of the business community that's talked to us about it and are concerned about it are smaller stores, because someone might come down here having stolen a car and are selling goods to buy drugs or do other committed crimes. It is a network. It is not a single person coming down and committing a crime. Instead, it is a community-wide problem. And we've had smaller businesses say, you know what, I'm really supportive of this, because maybe they come down here because they saw a Facebook post about how you can go and steal at Lowe's. And while they're down here stealing at Lowe's, they come and steal from me too. Or they stole the car in my parking lot, right? And then the car is recovered in a shoplifting instance. Well, since 1979, and I will tell you, when I was given the task of looking at this, I was surprised at this myself, and I'm a lifelong Colorado resident. Since 1979, Colorado is a mandatory crime reporting state. So under Colorado Revised Statute 188115, it is a duty of every corporation or person who has reasonable grounds to believe that a crime has been committed to promptly report that to law enforcement. That's great. Wonderful goal. It's more of a goal than it is truly an ordinance, but we've operationalized that, and that's the goal, just so that people understand that that is a standard, not an ideal, but a standard in Douglas County. And one of the other things that has occurred, and I really commend the sheriff and the DA for this, is that they have convened a retail theft, did you call it, conference? Committee?
Summit?
You had a meeting.
Yeah.
Summit.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Summit. And there was a lot of conversations about how we can best address this. And we had individuals from the outlets and from other locations talk about this. And one of the things that came about was not only the reporting of the crime, but assisting after the crime has been committed. And it's very important that the DA and the sheriff have the tools they need and the information they need to make sure if someone does commit a crime down here, they're able to link those crimes together if there are multiple crimes being committed, and that there's evidence of that. And so one of the other things that we talked about beyond the standard that's being set is the assistance that's required for law enforcement. That if you have video, you have to provide it. If you have names of individuals, license plate numbers, that there is assistance, because this community problem that's affecting everyone in this room can be addressed and fixed by everyone in this room. So the other element of it, which is a little bit different than some of the other ordinances that we pass, is that the first reading occurred, and then we invited. So I've heard about this, we saw it on the news, and then we're here to talk about it and how we can best make this actually work. So today's ideal, today's really what we wanted to occur. Today was you reaching out and saying, hey, I heard about this, how can we make this help? How can we protect our businesses and the community you're living in? So that's my groundwork.
Thank you so much, Council. And we love stakeholding. We did have a conversation with the Douglas County Economic Development Corporation, received no opposition. a lot of thank yous in the room, but you all are the experts, and so we're really interested to hear more from each of you in terms of how we can refine this language and best protect you, because again, we're your friends. The billions of dollars that you're losing on an annual basis to retail theft is just, it ultimately lands on the shoulders of the consumers, because prices go up and they're paying those prices at the register. Before I open it up, let me make sure that my colleagues, any additional comments or thoughts from the Board of County Commissioners?
Yeah, just a little more background, guys. This got brought to us by two residents here in the county. And if we were hit up at our state of the county, there was folders prepared by those two residents for the DA's swearing in. And then all the judges when the 23rd Judicial District was actually created and the officers were sworn in. Sheriff, I believe you got, there was a folder for you too that I think Dave took off your hands after you got sworn in. So this was brought to us by residents. And I will confess that I was skeptical that we could do anything. It was prepared as a legal brief. I guess one of them is an attorney. But when I turned it over to the county attorney, there was a lot of work that had to go into it. This is not a, we had a great idea one day, and then we're cranking this out as an ordinance. So it was brought to us by county residents, and then it was really about eight months of legal work by the county attorney's office, in between all the other things that we give him to do, in order to craft this ordinance. So, I don't know what you saw in the news when you first heard about this the first time, but it really kind of sounded like Abe and I came up with an idea and talked Kevin into it, and then we came and then we introduced it for first reading that afternoon. I assure you, this was something brought to us, again, by a couple of our residents. And then, you know, since the first reading, this has come up, in at least in my time, out in the community. There's a lot of support in the community for this. Yet at the same time, we know that the people who patronize the businesses you all represent, well, they're not you. So there's a lot of residents of the county who do want this to go through. But we know you guys are the ones that are going to really be our partners, and the partners to the sheriff's office, the partners for the DA's office, in hopefully helping solve a problem for you without actually creating a problem for you. Sorry, those are my comments, sir.
Thank you, Commissioner. Sheriff, DA, anything?
Yeah, just real quick. We recognize it's my people that are out there every day answering the calls for service. The one thing that I want to make extremely clear is we are not expecting your staff to put themselves in harm's way. And we are not looking to create a scene in the middle of your stores. But what we are looking to do is apprehend criminal offenders that victimize our businesses. Douglas County is different. And the quality of life that our citizens and our patrons that shop at your stores, they expect to be able to shop at their stores with safety. We will get calls for service by customers in your stores that are calling us saying, I'm watching this person steal right now. And so a lot of times that may be how our calls for service come in. But the one thing that I want to get make clear is whenever we have criminals coming into our community, victimizing our stores, it causes a problem for our community that we need to address. Because if we look the other way, I'm just telling you, and the commissioner hit it on the head, they're coming back for more, and they're calling their friends. And if they can walk out of your store with a shopping cart full of stuff and nothing is gonna happen, what I'm here to tell you is call us. You are not bothering us. We will respond to every single call for service. That's why we are here.
Thank you, Sheriff. DA?
Just look, there's probably four sequential steps that are gonna help us to get to where we wanna be, where your businesses operate with less loss based on criminal activity. And the first one is really the gatekeeper of the other three, and it's reporting the fact that this thing happened. The second thing is the response, and the sheriff's office has demonstrated and certainly assured us in the community, you call, we come. And I think that's true of the police departments that we've spoken to also. If you ever run into anything other than that response, I'd like to know about it because I want to work with these men and women and try to figure out how do we get you there when they call. The third part, that's an us part. That's the part where we take the good work that you have done, that the sheriff has participated in investigating, and we turn it into some type of resolution that we think will act as a deterrent to the future. Not just for that person, although that matters a ton, but for the fourth component, and that is, how do we then publicize what we're doing? Now, we've done a real good job of hitting that publicity piece right now, and everywhere I go, when I see other law enforcement in other parts of the metro area, they say, we love what you guys are doing down there. We wish our DA would do that. We wish our chief of police would do that down here. That's good, but we have to continue to make it a reality. And so for me, I want to keep my prosecutors busy. You know what I mean? You guys are paying taxes to keep them going. I want to keep them busy. And the way to do that is to report these crimes that take place. And I'll give you an example of a case that I still go to trial on cases, misdemeanors, felonies, just try to try cases with my folks. The last case I was going to do at the end of last year was a theft from Sunglasses Hut. On video, 100% got this guy cold. Although, by the way, and it should be no surprise here in this, dude is an illegal alien who'd been deported previously and had been wanted on a couple other minor thefts at Greenwood Village and somewhere else. But no one had done anything about it until he got down here to Castle Rock. He goes to the sunglasses thing. We get him on the video. The employee of this place had to actually sort of fudge the policy that they were given, which is don't do anything. You can't even say, this is something, you can't even say to the person, hey, you might have accidentally put something in your pocket. Maybe you want to pay for that one. You can't even say that to this guy. This guy went ahead and relieved himself, went to go to the bathroom, and took some pictures, called Castle Rock, and we were able to investigate and bring this guy in. Those are the kind of resources that we want to bring to bear to discourage future conduct. But none of the last three steps matter if we don't have your piece of it. To echo what the sheriff said, I don't play a role in this. This is a county attorney thing, which is good because one of the things I don't want to do is make myself adverse to victims of crime. One, I need your folks to be able and willing to come in to testify when necessary. And two, I just think it encourages a relationship that allows us to probably be better at serving the community. So if you have questions about how we do that, let me know. I've asked my people to pull all the data over the last year about what we're seeing with thefts. We've seen a significant uptick in the number of arrests for shoplifting and other property crimes. The sheriff has numbers that show a huge decrease in the amount of motor vehicle theft and other crimes that we're seeing. I think we're having an impact, and it's not an overnight impact, but it's a better impact than you're going to see elsewhere, and we just want to keep this thing going. That's where you guys come in. So any ideas you have, you let me know. If there's a way for us to make this a more streamlined process, to encourage you guys to report or do whatever. And I'm also not looking for heroes. I'm just looking for people to give us information that we can act on.
Thank you, DA. So with that, you know, no formality needed. I think we just want to open it up to both everyone here in person and online. If you have some thoughts, our staff and our council are here to take notes, and our lobbyists are as well.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for taking the time to meet with us and for bringing up what is probably one of our highest priorities to remedy and to look at different solutions for. We've run bills at the state level year after year. DA Brockler has been great in supporting those efforts, futile as they might be.
Yeah.
We do have a different approach this year. We're going to try and we'll see if it works. That looks less like an increased penalty and more like increased resources to try to bridge the gap between, you know, the reporting and the prosecution and investigating pieces. But we really appreciate you bringing attention to the issue. The publicity has been fantastic to really catapult the conversation that, you know, was started with, you know, many different organizations, but there's a ballot initiative now. You know, there's the work that we're going to do at the state capitol, the work that you all are doing. So we really just wanted to have a conversation about some of the logistical pieces in the ordinance that we bring us a little bit of pause. So we brought some of our best and brightest folks who deal with this every day to talk about those issues specifically. And I don't know if we just want to give them each a few minutes to chat about what they see.
Sure. Thank you. I'll
jump in since Katie was kind of looking my direction. And again, I'm Dave Turnus. I'm with Walgreens Asset Protection Department. Just to kind of give you a little bit of a background, I've been with the Walgreens company for 28 years. I testified before the House and Senate on legislation around organized retail crime. And I am largely the point person for all things dealing with organized retail crime, security, safety, internal investigations, compliance, auditing for 55 Walgreens store locations based on the south end of Denver and Aurora down to Alamosa. So that's a territory that I work with. First of all, I guess I want to address, as I was sitting here taking some notes as you were talking, it seems like the concerned citizens came forward because there's a perception out there that retailers are not interested in reporting these particular crimes. I can speak only for Walgreens. I can't speak for anybody else's policies or procedures or whatever, but as far as Walgreens is concerned, we are absolutely committed to reporting any and all shoplifting incidents, theft, incidents to arise in our stores. The problem that we do run into, though, is two different things. One is ensuring the safety of our team members. Our team members didn't come to work for Walgreens to deal with shoplifters. These days, it's not unusual for a day to go by for somebody to load up a bag of merchandise and walk out. The team member at the front door, all they see is that this person walked in. They didn't have anything. As they're walking out, they have a gift bag that's overflowing, and they know they did not ring that person up. Many times these individuals will stop and they will turn and they'll look at our cashier and they will proceed to pull up a t-shirt and reveal the butt of a gun and then walk out. I can guarantee you that 100% of the time when those situations occur, they are being reported appropriately to law enforcement for prosecution. And that we also do participate in providing video to law enforcement, even though our video is considered proprietary to law enforcement. Certainly we provide anything and everything we need when we're the victim of a crime. I mentioned,
Dave,
though,
what is your video retention policy?
I'm sorry, what's
your video retention policy?
It varies depending upon the capacity of the DVR in the store. Yeah. So the
We've
amount
been
of
told
cameras,
on average 48 hours, is that?
Oh, no. More in the neighborhood for us, it's a month and a half to 2 months.
Oh, great.
Is about average of what we have.
That's right. Good.
And again, so on one hand, we're very concerned from the safety standpoint of our team members when it comes to reporting. The other thing, and this really goes to the law enforcement people here today, is the burden of proof that's necessary in order to prove a shoplifting case happened. So what our stores have learned and what we have seen over and over again is that we will have a situation where somebody comes walking into the store, we see them come into the store, they look just like a normal person coming into shop, and 30 seconds later, 45 seconds later, they're running out the door with a bag full of merchandise. We know it happened, and if we make a phone call and report that situation, the question that we're always going to get is, well, what did they take? I don't have a clue. We didn't have people all over the store monitoring that particular person. Which way did they go? Can't tell you that either. Then oftentimes what we'll hear directly from dispatch is, I'm sorry, we're not even going to send an officer out. There's no point. There's nothing to work with there.
Do you have external cameras? Forgive me for asking the case stuff, but do you have internal and external cameras that might help us with that?
Yes. It varies by location as far as, again, our systems are not as sophisticated as some of the others who are represented here in the room. Yeah. Ours are fixed cameras in fixed locations around the store, so there are gaps. And so it depends on whether that person happens to hit that particular gap with what they're doing. And we do have exterior cameras to monitor the parking lots and turn that information over. And if we had an officer come out, absolutely, we would give them the opportunity to look at that and review it. That's not in question at all.
From just my standpoint, not the sheriff's, from my standpoint, as long as you can prove something was taken, you get us over the threshold that we at least have petty offense theft. And that can at least get us an arrest.
And George, we're totally on the same team there, because what I'm constantly instructing my team members is, whenever possible, we want them to go up. We want them to make contact with that individual. approach them with a customer service standpoint. And what I always ask them to do is pay attention to the person, pay attention to the merchandise that they're handling, so that even if it's only one item that we can identify, we can at least report that one item to somebody. But I'm telling you, just to the point that this group was making earlier, these are professionals, and they know how to hit you hard and hit you fast. They come into the store. Sometimes they're working in teams where they're dividing up. One person is distracting your staff at the front of the store while another person loads up on something, and then the only thing that you see is them running out. Now, what ends up happening on the opposite side of that is that, okay, now this person's looking for someplace to unload that merchandise. 2 hours later, they're on Facebook Marketplace, and they've got all of this Walgreens merchandise that has our branding labels and things like that on it that they're offering up for sale.
And
they're looking at it, and they're looking at it that Walgreens is doing absolutely nothing about this. That is not the case at all. And in the discussions I've had with the people in Douglas County and the stores I've worked with, they're seriously concerned about this approach. That it's like, hey, we try to do all we can. A lot of times we can't prosecute these things because, number one, we're not jeopardizing the safety of our staff. And number two, what we hear is you don't have enough for us to work with on this particular case. And they're like, so...
Do you have external cameras that would catch them?
Yeah, we do have external cameras in the parking lot. Typically what we see, again, with the professionals is they know to run down the sidewalk and disappear from sight.
And so what I'll tell you, the exact scenario you gave, if you call us just with the limited information that you have, if as long as we have reasonable suspicion that a crime took place, you let our dispatch center know, and you call me directly, I'll give you my mobile number if they tell you that they're not going to respond. That should never happen in Douglas County. And if you give us a vehicle description, our deputies will be all over that. If you have one.
Right. As I was going to say, a lot of times we don't have it.
But we will take the time and energy to follow up on that. We will take the time to look at Facebook Marketplace. And if you've worked with our financial crimes unit, we will put big COCA cases together on these types of groups. We will take the time to do that. And that's what's different about Douglas. That you may not, you know, I'm not bashing other agencies, but they might not have the time or personnel to do it. And we will.
No, you guys have been great in terms of your response, far and above what we get from other metro agencies. What we're concerned about here, though, is that we're creating the potential to create legislation that's going to penalize the person who's trying, already a victim in this situation, and that's how it's being perceived on the opposite end of this. And that very much becomes our concern from a retail standpoint, is now I've got people calling me saying, if this happens, so do they really want me to flood them, you know, with calls on stuff where we don't have anything? We know the officers, we know what they'll take and what they won't take. You know, am I going to potentially be fined in some way for not complying with this? Those are questions that are starting to come up.
Yeah.
And then you do have a situation where you have someone like a frontline cashier who's like, I've heard about this thing. Does that mean I go outside to see what do I need to do on this end if we have to report these?
This is creating a tremendous
amount of concern and anxiety among the people who are working in retail. Mm-hmm. And with that, I'll shut up and get off my soapbox.
We want to hear more from you, but what I would say, Dave, is you're doing exactly the right thing. First of all, thank you for your decades of service, but it sounds like based upon the hypothetical you laid out, you're in compliance not only with what we're trying to do here, but with the 1979 law. We are absolutely not trying to victimize the victims. And, you know, I apologize, I think, because you get the type of community that elected officials allow and that citizens allow. And in many communities, you have elected officials that just think it's okay to steal from big box stores. I mean, literally, we got testimony on first reading from an individual that said, well, some people just need to steal. And our response is just, huh. That's why we have food banks, and that's why we have a heart team, and that's why we have nonprofits and amazing citizens that support those in need. The solution isn't going to Walgreens and just take what you want. So I think the message to those who work for Walgreens is we're on your side, and that when you do what you're already doing well, which is report, we'll take it from there. We don't want any of your employees running out into the street, fighting with people, engaging at all, really. And I'll defer to the sheriff on that, but they're going to do their job. All we're asking is for you to do what you're already doing. And frankly, it's a bigger message to your larger corporations, because it does come down to training. It does come down to the conversations that you're doing every day with your employees. And as much as we would like to think that every employee is complying and following this, there may be a lot of scenarios where they're just, hey, there's somebody, another person stealing out of our store.
Commissioner, right? You're absolutely on track with that. And I was going to say that the sheriff was sharing that if it's a situation where my guys are not responding, I want to know about that. Yeah. If our stores are not reporting something that you hear, we would want to know about that, because we need to coach to that with our team. And sometimes they get confused about what am I allowed to do, what am I not allowed to do. And so this is a constant, ongoing conversation with our group also.
I know you have, this is a really important point.
There's a piece here that we really need to make sure you guys understand. I didn't have the expectation that everybody was going to read every letter of the ordinance the way that we did. But one of the things that, the original version of this that we got from our resident did have penalties against the individual.
Yes.
It had fines against the individual. We've removed that. Okay, and quite frankly, the biggest proponent of doing that was this guy right here. The sheriff really felt that that was the wrong thing to do, because that would penalize the victim. So we've already removed that. So really, guys, how you deal with it, and you just said it very well, Dave, if the fact is this is something that your organizations have to deal with, no matter whether we have this ordinance in place or not, as an organization, of how do you respond to theft in your stores. And you're dealing with that, I'm sure, through training. This is another training element that still keeps you in that driver's seat, guys, because now we're not going to penalize your employees. We're not going to fine your employees. So you guys are still in the driver's seat as a business on how your people are trained. I think the good part is that here in Douglas County, you know, that you've got a sheriff's department and a DA's office that will actually take that up for you and for your organization.
Commissioner, I guess I would ask the question, will the larger corporation be subject to fines? Because I think sometimes there's the perception that if you find a Walgreens store, we're finding Walgreens corporate. What I think a lot of people don't realize is that store, even though it's part under a corporate umbrella, operates much as if it is its own entity, in that any charges for fines or whatever come back to that particular store. They pay it. And so it does become something that even if we're going to issue a fine to Walgreens, that store manager is going to submit that fine to our legal department. Our legal department is going to fight it or pay it or whatever they do. But if there is a fine levied, at least within Walgreens, the impact of that comes right back to that local store and gets taken into consideration in terms of their overall profitability.
Having worked in corporate environment for 20 years of my professional life, that was my expectation, and that is a goal of this ordinance. Otherwise,
I'm just saying it.
Otherwise, it's guys, still, the situation we're in, that we were confronted by the resident who brought it forward, was how are we ever going to see change through some of the corporate entities here and on this call when that corporate board is in New York, Los Angeles. They're not even in the state. So, yes. However, having worked in corporate environment for 20 years of my professional life, that's something every one of the organizations that I heard called out today, you guys are empowered to take action on. Nothing here should inhibit that.
Well, Commissioner, we've been working together for so long, you sort of read my mind, but I wanted, because I agree with everything you said. The important thing I wanted to share as an attorney and as a commissioner, I'm not going to play lawyer today, but I think in my previous life, and I'll defer to the DA on this, but on the ground, how will we ever know that Target is not reporting a particular theft, right? So not only is it really up to you to just train,
those that are in your employ around, because the reality is we're intending to change the law on the books so that your larger corporations change internal policy, and that you as a professional are able to train your staff to report. It's a tool to help enforce what you've already been doing very well, but at the end of the day, you had a question about the fine. The fine is de minimis. I mean, it is so small to almost be laughable, so it's not really a significant financial penalty. And also something that we would really never hear about unless you let us know.
Well, we do, like, we'll occasionally, let's say a big box store gets hit or something to that effect. Our proactive deputies are out there on the street, and maybe they clear a plate comes back stolen, vehicle comes back stolen, or the vehicle is driving in a suspicious manner. We make contact. Lo and behold, in the back seat, they've got stuff from every retailer in northern mm-hmm. Douglas County. And typically that's how we'll figure it out, is the driver will have warrants, passenger will have warrants, we'll get into the car till the vehicle search incident to arrest, and that's how we find out. And that we, you know, potentially we'd never gotten a phone call or anything like that. But to the commissioner's point, what our goal is, just like with everything that we do in the sheriff's office, is our objective is voluntary compliance with the ordinance, that you guys have ample time to report. Again, we are not looking for your staff to put themselves in harm's way. We're simply looking for a report to be taken with the best information that you have. And if you have any available video evidence, we will take it from there.
That's well said. I want to make sure and open it up to the folks that are online and patiently listening to the conversation. Is there anybody online that has additional comments or thoughts for us?
Hey, it's Ryan Ersick with Walmart Public Affairs and Government Relations. Just wanted to thank you all the work that you do. A lot of these conversations that we have are the opposite way, where we're begging the city and the police department for help. So I just want to appreciate everything that you guys have done and are doing to help stymie this. As Walgreens said, you know, the safety of our customers and our associates are priority. You know, Walmart has 104 stores in Colorado, over 29,000 associates. You can't imagine how many transactions we do every day. And just like Walgreens, Target, Best Buy, and our other retail brethren, we're all spending, you know, tens of millions of dollars to keep our customers and our associates safe. And that's through off-duty police officers, technology in our parking lots, cameras, training, you know, theft deterrence on products. You know, also, I think many people in the room and online have spent a lot of time going around the country. I have a region, Kansas, Nebraska, South Dakota, and Colorado. And a few years ago, we went around the my territory trying to pass the INFORM Act, which you guys have kind of mentioned a few times via talking about the Facebook marketplace. And I believe Chris House, remind me, or correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Colorado was the second state to pass the INFORM Act, or maybe the first state to get that through a House. I don't remember exactly. But again, Colorado is starting to treat crime the way you guys are doing in your county. And so we appreciate that. And again, just want to kind of chime in and agree with what all that Walgreens has said. I think our biggest concerns is that, you know, this becomes a burden. You know, we do not all thefts are equal, and we do not want to overload the police department with some of these minor cases. We don't, you know, absolutely don't want to divert police resources and taxes from violent organized crime. And then, you know, he also mentioned, you know, you know, we all work to be 100% in compliance, no matter what it is, whether it be, you know, logging some of these calls or making sure that we're storing chemicals correctly. So, you know, whatever passes in the county, you know, we're gonna work to be in 100% compliance. And I think that that's where a lot of this anxiety and concern comes from, because we want to have that opportunity to investigate. We want to have the opportunity to kind of package these up for you guys, while also, you know, being a partner. So I think that, you know, if you take three things from a Walmart perspective, we want to be good partners. We want to have great communication with you. You know, I don't know how broadly it's talked about, but we've been working closely with the city of Aurora. We actually have a bi-monthly meeting with the city of Aurora to talk about crime and talk about other issues that are impacting the store. Maybe it's, you know, we couldn't get a liquor license approved, or we, you know, that, hey, we need to pick up Walmart shopping carts. So building those relationships, I think, will only help these type of issues as well. And then, you know, also, I think that, you know, Aurora has passed some stronger penalties for theft. So I'm just curious about your views on that. And then I'll also, if you don't mind, I'd pitch it to my colleague, Chris Kohler. Chris, if you have anything to add on our part, but before I pitch it to you, I just want to say, I think the only time I've ever had almost wanted to have a heart attack in a capital was in the state of Colorado. We were working on some organized theft legislation, and one of the state senators said, I don't give a damn about Walmart because they have insurance. So I don't care what's stolen from them because they have insurance.
Oh, I was going to go with Weiss.
I think Chris had to take me outside to take me for a beer, blood pressure down. But so, again, it's a little bit of a relief to have this conversation. And I just wanted to thank you on behalf of Walmart. And I think we just need to work past some of the concern and anxiety about this reporting. With that, Chris, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Ryan. Chris?
I appreciate everybody being here, and thank you. Yeah, look, you guys are amazing. I was at the summit. I'm in this meeting, obviously, right now. I love the initiative. I love what you guys are doing. Essentially, what I'm hearing is what we want out of this is to get people who are not reporting to start reporting. That doesn't necessarily represent this entire group. I think for the most part, by and large, we're doing what we're supposed to do. So the big question is, can you or can we or should we be cookie cutting the sort of approach to blanket to everybody, particularly for the people who are already doing what they need to do in this venue, and making sure that they're reporting, like Walgreens said, making sure that their people are trained up. The other question, of course, is, and I think we've kind of covered this already, right, is enforceability, right? Like, if we're going to have something on the books, what is the purpose of that thing, and what is the consequence of not following up on it? Because there's going to have to be one at some point. I've definitely seen that go negatively, particularly in places like Albuquerque was a good example. Just because I live here, the retail community was asked to report. So they did. And as they started reporting, one of the things that the city did in terms of a negative consequence, and this was not an ordinance or not anything on the books, but one of the things that the city ended up doing in that particular case was penalizing the retailers who were reporting every incident as nuisance businesses. Some of the consequences were not only financial, but also cutting of store hours. So the city was forcing those businesses to close early. So instead of closing at 10, they were having to close at, I think, 8, right? Or like something like that, right? So like there can be, or at least I've seen in my own personal experience, some negative consequences that go along with the sort of reporting that we're talking about for every little thing. And I know that a lot of people have kind of, and I want to be clear, I come from the law enforcement side, and I am a proponent of making sure that criminals are identified and that they are prosecuted. But there is, at least in my personal professional opinion, a difference between reporting somebody for stealing a cheesecake, which we've seen, and we've gotten complaints from law enforcement about literally one slice of cheesecake, and taking a more targeted approach for some of those bigger picture cases that I know that we're all interested in. I know that Ryan's interested in Walgreens, Target, and focusing our resources and our effort on investigating those sorts of things instead of making sure that there is a response to every slice of cheesecake that gets stolen, and targeting the organizations and focusing on those groups that are doing the stealing and the reselling and all of those things. So what I'm trying to say succinctly is I think that there's a lot of opportunity here to come together as a group and focus on some of those bigger and more impactful issues and not necessarily focus on every single slice of cheesecake or every single Pringle that's stolen from every store. I've seen it go negatively in the past, having been on the law enforcement side. I know that it's not necessarily an effective strategy for public safety or for impact. So I would just kind of caution the group to think about those sorts of things, just because I've seen it in real time in my experience.
Chris, thank you so much for that comment. And I can assure you, nobody's going to go to jail for stealing a Pringle in Douglas County. But what I will tell you, I love that comment, because what I sense from you all genuinely is that you've kind of been browbeaten by elected officials in different cities for a lot of years. And you're in an environment right now where we're saying we're your allies. We want to support you. We want to save those billions of dollars that you're losing every day, because that affects our citizens in terms of what they're paying. And the situation you raise in Albuquerque, I mean, you're not going to be penalized for over-reporting. You know, and again, that you're talking about elected officials that feel like it's okay to steal. We don't want you reporting too much, because some people just need to steal things. That you're not going to hear that from us. Again, if anything, we're not going to victimize the victims. We are going to support you every way we can and continue to support law enforcement.
Yeah, we will absolutely. And that's not our objective, is to punish our business community. And I would say it would be quite the opposite. It's the problematic businesses that aren't reporting that are bringing the criminal element to the community. And what I will tell you, and I've heard this numerous times, if you have somebody stealing from your store because they're hungry, our deputy's probably going to show up and pay for it. That's the type of organization that we have. We're not having a hiring problem. I got 450 deputies and I'm fully staffed because people want to come to work for Douglas County because of the environment that we have in this community. And we have a partnership with our businesses. It's a good relationship. We would never want to turn that adversarial.
Commissioner Menwinkle?
Yeah, just in that, I do want to hear from everyone, because I know there's lots of very bright minds here. But as we do, I think just in the interest of time and getting really to the point of what I'm looking for out of the meeting, of course, is to listen, but it's to, if you had the choice to write this yourself, if you were a county commissioner in Douglas County, I had great law enforcement, had great sheriff, great DA, how would you write it, and how would it be different from how we drafted the original first draft of this? Because I do see changes in my mind between the first draft and what we could ultimately pass, but I want to hear from you what you would pass that could help you.
That's a good point. For those who haven't spoken, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Nick with Target. So again, I'm the ORC investigator for the state, so my job is strictly to deal with the top offenders that are impacting Target stores and other retailers in the state. I also cover 10 other states, so it's quite a big area, but I live here in Denver. It is my primary area of work as well. I think a lot of great things were said. I think it's amazing that the county attorney over there was. A lot of the times we have to bring that information to the room and try to convince you guys, like, hey, it's not just shoplifting, it's all interconnected, all these things, and we're not having to do that here, which is really a breath of fresh air, because almost every single time we're the ones trying to convince this room that that's what's going on. So just appreciate, like, your line of thinking and how you guys operate here. And I can say firsthand from the two stores we have in Douglas County that Douglas County sheriffs respond to the store anytime we call, they show up.
That's great.
And we've made so many apprehensions due to law enforcement being so successful and showing up so quickly. So just thank you guys for what you guys do, because it's made a huge impact, and we hope that we can just continue to have great leadership in store to make sure we're utilizing those resources the best that we can, because that's the greatest thing. I do think the biggest thing what Kohler brought up is the most important thing, is that trying not to lose the big fish in the sea. So we have a lot of reports that we read at Target, and a lot of them are going to be petty offenses. They're going to be things that are going to be very minor. However, when that happens, that does take time. And if a sheriff does need to respond to report to every single one of those petty offenses for us to give them that intelligence, it's just going to take a bit longer, and there's going to be a lot of time wasted in that kind of thing. And I think it's good that, yeah, you guys get visibility to it. One solution I would like to see of, like, some kind of online reporting option for you guys to save the time, so you guys aren't having to physically come out every single time. We save everything digitally here at Target, so our video is retained. Once it's saved, it's saved through statute of limitations. So it's there. We don't lose it. Obviously, the camera itself, we don't save. It has a limited amount of time, and each camera has its own amount of time retention. But once we have it saved, it's saved. So it can be, once we have a report, it could be a week, month, a year later, and we can still report that, that crime. So that'll save a ton of time between you guys. We've seen it work really successfully with cities like Aurora, where we can just, boom, they get that information, they can see it, whether it's someone within law enforcement looking at it, like a crime analyst, something like that. But it helps broaden it, but then law enforcement's not coming out and wasting those hours. And then I think one thing we can utilize too, something we've done other areas, is like very specific meetings where it's ORC investigators from the different larger corporations that can come together and say, hey, these are the big people who are hitting us. Here's what we're seeing online. Here are some of the businesses we've seen that might be selling these stolen goods. So we can actually go after some of those bigger targets. And that can be a really easy opportunity too for like the media press releases of like, hey, we went after this big person. Here are the amount of retailers involved, the amount of dollars involved, things like that. Because I don't think the normal person is going to bat an eye of like, hey, we solved this $50 theft. That's probably going to not make a news story, but some of these bigger ones probably will. And then I think also like blitz operations. So those have worked very successfully, especially when the media is brought in and the public can see like, hey, Douglas County today had a law enforcement blitz and it involved Target, Walmart, all these different retailers, and we caught this many people. And I know some agencies have gone as far as even posting booking photos like, hey, here are the people we caught, for that public shaming in a way, but it shows like, hey, we care, we're going after these kind of things. So I think there's a lens to both sides. Obviously, like, I would love to catch every single person that steals in every one of our Target stores. But due to the hours that we have per store and some of the smaller stores, especially like the one off County Line, like we have one person there a lot of the times. So the fact that they're gonna be able to catch everything is very small, and we wanna make sure they're also going after the right things. We don't want them to feel pressured to be like, all right, I need to catch everything that happens in it because I can incur a fine to my store if I don't do that. So those are the kind of things that are on my mind from a Target lens. But seriously, guys, thank you for having this meeting and thank you for everything you've done thus far, because it's made a huge, huge impact in the stores. I wish you guys covered the whole state. So much easier.
Yeah. One thing that we did not, so you just said something about making sure we're working together.
Yeah.
Okay, and so the online reporting, I wrote it down, I think you wrote it down. I think we're going to get that in, an online reporting method. But would it be helpful, though, because in our discussions, we were thinking along the lines of, listen, we get a retailer who comes forward, but then a fine is levied. But if then they start reporting, and then they're working with the sheriff's office, they're working with the DA, maybe we tell the county attorney, drop those fines. Because we would have that control, but it's not articulated, it's not annotated in the ordinance. Should we have something like that? Would that be helpful for you guys? Particularly, I mean, I know so many of you represent corporate interests. I know you got bosses, right? I mean, would that be helpful for the corporate entity to know that with cooperation, any fines can be waived and have it actually annotated in the
I mean, I can speak on just Target's behalf, obviously, but I think the thing that for us is, like, we're always going to cooperate. Like, we file everything that we can. We do have our own directives that say, hey, we have to meet certain thresholds, because, again, the basis of those thresholds is to make sure that we're not wasting law enforcement's time. And a lot of the places, like, we have to make sure we're being strategic, because we don't want to call over things that they think are useless, because we're just going to waste our time. But in a scenario where law enforcement is telling us to file everything, we can pretty much file what we want. Like, we will file everything we possibly can. What I think more of the concern is that, hey, this one slips with the cracks, you forgot to file. Crap, I don't want to file now, because now we're going to get fined if I file this. In that lens of, like, we want to make sure that we're never afraid to file because we think we're going to incur a fine because of the 96-hour period, all these different things. That I think that's more like the word for us, is that, hey, if things are going to slip through the cracks, we just don't want to get fined for those things or hide it from you guys because we think a fine is going to be incurred after the fact.
Well, the only reason for the timing was feedback that specifically was the undersheriff who brought it forward, is the only reason for that timing element is for those, we know there are retailers who only retain like 48 hours worth of video. Okay, so for you guys, what you mentioned, David, what you mentioned, that doesn't sound like a problem for you guys because you've got more robust electronic recording capability. So that's the only thing, is we want to make sure we're capturing that after feedback from law enforcement. But at the same token, I mean, boy, we're so far in the conversation right now, I'm thinking, I don't understand how this is going to hurt you guys. anybody in this room, because the bottom line is you guys seem to have the tools to cooperate even after an extended period of time with law enforcement.
Yeah, I mean, I think the...
So if I can... Sorry, Adriana. If I can speak to that piece of what Nick mentioned with us sometimes only having one or two people in a store at a given time, and if you look at a store like the size of one of our super targets, that's a lot of ground, a lot of merchandise for one person to cover, to have eyes on, to understand where the counts are at, right? So even within 4 days, let's say there's a vacation or someone caught that strain of flu that's been going around, and then they come back and now there's issues or there's thefts that have happened and they have to report it after that 96-hour period, that could de-incentivize them from actually reporting crime, and then that kind of defeats the whole purpose of this. So I wonder if there's some way to add language into it where it's a late report without actual intel incurs a fine, because if someone has all the data, someone has all the information in the case, and they do report afterwards because of extenuating circumstances, but it's actionable because we've saved the video, we have the report, we have everything retained, does that then get them a pass from that fine, if that makes sense? Because if we're trying to encourage compliance for those smaller businesses that may not have the bandwidth or the technology or the resources to retain that video, then yes, it is paramount that they are getting it done before we lose all trace of that and that person's in the wind. Because we know recidivism, we know that these theft networks happen, and inaction just breeds further bad behavior, right? But I wonder if there are stair steps or like levels that we can put at that, or different thresholds, to incentivize the behavior that we want.
Well, that sounds okay by me. I mean, Jeff, does that sound like something you could integrate into the language of the ordinance?
I think we can make it clearer, sir, because it's the standard right now is when you become reasonably aware. So if no one's there for 5 days, you can't possibly reasonably become aware until you get there. And then once you find out that there's a crime, you have 4 days to report it. So someone being out on the flu, there's no way that you'd be reasonably aware. But I think we probably can make that clearer. We can make it, because I think this is a lot about messaging, because everyone in this room seems to be very compliant, right? You guys, we're speaking to the choir in this one, right? We're preaching to the choir in this one. But making sure that people understand it and that you don't have anxiety with your employees, that's something I think we can help with.
Sure. Is there a way? Oops.
I think...
I show, you know, let me go back to you had a comment earlier, and then we'll get
maybe that's a good point.
Hey, Chris, I'm going to pause you just for 1 second. Chris, we had a comment in the room, and then I'll get back to you online. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to go back to the online reporting. It's worked really well, especially for crimes after the fact, that we still have the retention of the video, but we don't need to tie up sheriff's deputies' resources specifically, especially if they're a smaller amount. But they still get reported. They get aggregated at some point. The second comment I was going to say is that sometimes we don't want to de-incentivize if we find a crime after the fact, because when they're aggregating larger cases, it still comes up and becomes valuable. Mm-hmm. And so I know sometimes it's a pain and we don't want to dump 20 reports. Like, that is never something we encourage. Don't sit on reports. We report them timely and then aggregate them and present them to you all. But I was going to say the vagueness in some of the language makes it seem like the 96 hours was onus on us to know, right? And then if it's like, okay, maybe somebody's been out for 96 hours and we didn't report the crime that happened during that time frame, we would incur the fine. And so the way the language reads, there is a lot of vagueness in that piece of it. I think clarity on that part would be very helpful to understand.
We can do that.
That's a good and comment.
We do that.
The administrative part of for you all,
yeah,
that's the having worked in the city before, I was like, I don't know how you'll do the administrative piece of tracking, the time frames, the reporting, the compliance. I think the overall concept is you want people to comply with the law and to report. It's not us in the room, but you do have very small businesses too in Douglas County that don't have assets protection resources or other folks. I don't know what, you know, if there's a scale for business, I don't know what you're thinking through, but those are just things that come to mind.
And I think that the paradigm is we're not intending to penalize the retail industry at all. I think when you do that paradigm shift to having more corporate compliance around training, and then that ancillary public communications piece that, hey, actually, you can't walk out with a big box of things from Target. It's that ability, because we have a law in the books, to say to our community, don't do this. And if you're outside of Douglas County, don't come here and do that. But that's a really good comment. Katie, you had something else?
I was just going to say, if we could, is there a way we could also address what Chris brought up about the nuisance law piece, and that, you know, yeah, nothing in this ordinance is meant to...
Great. Okay.
That's a good point. Chris, I'm sorry. Well, you had a comment as well?
No. Don't be sorry at all. I think everybody who just spoke kind of rotated around what I was thinking too, is the intent of what we're trying to do is to get people who are not cooperating, who are not reporting, who are not willing to prosecute, to do that. And maybe tailoring a little bit of this language specifically to that would help allay some of the rest of the concerns that everybody has, right? The problem is the problem, right? If you've got, and I'll use Sunglass Hut because they're not here and we can do that. If you've got a Sunglass Hut who knows about the crime, but they are refusing to report, right? Like, so we're talking about an act at that point, right? With intent behind it. Refusing to report, refusing to cooperate, refusing to prosecute, something like that. Maybe tailoring some of the language toward those aspects of it so that it's less broad and generalized to the entire retail community and it's more focused on what the actual problem is. Because again, I can tell you that I did deal with that and I still deal with that personally. Those businesses who are looking for a solution but also refuse to cooperate. And if that's the issue that we're dealing with, then maybe focusing some of the language toward that might be helpful as well.
That's a great comment.
Jeff? And that was one of the things we came off of our draft when we spoke with the EDC, is they said, well, you really need to talk about the underlying policy rather than the individual instance. Mm-hmm. And so we have added that section four, part one, section four says, anyone who has a policy against reporting, which is a clear violation of the state law, is per se in violation of this. So we're definitely targeting that. And to be honest, that's the one we want to get. We want to get people to not have a policy to prevent us from doing our job and enforcing crime against retail theft. But I think that one of the biggest things that I've heard of this is that we need to have better messaging, because the message that got sent out is we're penalizing retail. And that's not what we're doing. We're helping retail and we're encouraging you to access the resources available.
Commissioner Layton, to that end, to what you were mentioning there, the messaging component, I think all of us have had the opportunity, those of us who work in this industry, to partner with law enforcement in different areas on shoplifting blitzes, enhanced enforcement opportunities, and things like that. If it's publicized the way that Nick was talking about, I think you can get a lot of mileage off of that. And it's kind of surprising to me right now. I've had the opportunity to listen to District Attorney Brockler on the radio and some things like that. And I know his stance on being tough on crime, and I absolutely love it. I live in Elbert County, by the way. And right now, we've got Denver and we've got Aurora both coming to us saying, hey, how can we partner with you guys to do some shoplifting blitzes in your stores? We have one tomorrow up at Colfax and Race, where they're going to dedicate officers to work from an enforcement standpoint in that location, with the idea of arresting as many people as we possibly can and sending them to jail to send a message to that neighborhood. One of the best police departments right now that I'm working with in the entire state, get ready when I say this, is Pueblo. Pueblo has what they call a DICE team, and their DICE team is dedicated to supporting retail with intervention. And so sometimes they'll call me up, sometimes I call them up and say, hey, we're getting, kicked in the rear in this particular store location. Can we set something up? And generally within a week or 2 weeks, we're down there working together. And on average, we arrest 4 to 7 people, I would say, in just a couple of hours in those kind of situations. And again, it's all about making an impact. And I know that they're using that to get the word out to their community that we are concerned about retail theft and we are here to partner with retail to do something about it. Mm-hmm. And if there's any opportunities with Douglas County to partner on such a thing, hey,
I'm your contact with Walmart, or oh, yes, not Walmart, Walgreens. I'll represent Walmart too if they want. But yeah, we would love to have the opportunity to partner with you guys on some blitzes to get the word out there.
Well, Dave, this is great, and I know what Ryan said with Walmart was good partners, great communication. We want to honor that commitment to you to continue partnering and communicating. Really good suggestions in terms of maybe some red lines and some modifications that might help put you all at ease. Our request of you all, I think, as we move forward, is your support. So let's continue to work on language, but if there's a procedural moment where it would be appropriate to get some level of support on this particular law, we would love to have that from you, but obviously we need to work through your red lines and make sure that everybody feels really comfortable with it. Can,
yeah, if you don't mind, I want to address a couple things I heard Chris, and you, sir, say, and some others, and the suggestion that, and I can only speak for my suggestion that, hey, we don't want to overburden the system and take away precious resources for de minimis thefts. I don't give a damn how big or small the theft is. For me, the message that we want from this county is the stove is on, it is hot. And every time you touch the stove, you should expect to be burned. Now, I understand that we can't go get everybody. While I've never seen any case involving a single Pringle, my guess is if you were to pull this community and say, how many times should someone be able to steal a piece of cheesecake before law enforcement gets involved? Most people would say, first time. You steal food the first time, you should be contacted by law enforcement. So from my standpoint, I want to be inundated with these cases to the point where I show back up here and go, okay, I gotta cry uncle here because we can't keep up. Or I go to these guys and say, give me more prosecutors because we need to take more cases. What I don't want to encourage you to do, and again, it's a business model that you have to adopt, is I don't want to encourage you to exercise discretion on when theft should matter to law enforcement. Mm-hmm. Because from this guy's standpoint, law enforcement, every theft matters to me. I'll figure out whether or not they deserve a conviction, at what level, and the jail that we might recommend. I just don't want you guys to take on the burden of trying to decide this is just too much for law enforcement. And Darren, I can't speak for your agency, but my guess is they call, piece of cheesecake or otherwise, you guys showing up.
We are.
Yeah. So I love that comment, and that's why these guys have been such great elected officials and partners in the county. But my sense from you all, I mean, you made the comment earlier, my sense is that you had to adjust to different counties and cities that say, hey, we're not going to show up for that. And you have to parse out your resources because we're not going to be there. It's probably a little bit different to be in a room where we're saying, we're going to show up every time. And if you call us, we do care.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
Well, we're honored to be the first. Well, we're honored to be the first, and hopefully other jurisdictions will take that approach. I mean, you're doing too much for our communities to not be responded to.
Sure. No, I agree. We will always be there. We will do everything that we can to keep your store safe. And again, I need to emphasize, I know you guys don't want a fight in the middle of your store. We're not asking for that. We had one of the big box stores call us, and they specifically said, hey, we've got a known offender. They've taken a bunch of stuff. Please take them off outside the store. We will absolutely do that. So whatever we can do to help you. And the spirit and intent of this law is not to penalize retailers. It's to go after the ones that look the other way and refuse to report.
Yeah, so I know we're running short on time, and I would just say this is, you know, the beginning of the conversation, not the end. We're not in any immediate rush to go to second reading, so we're going to, you know, pause and wait until we get more of your feedback and have that integrated. Then we'll shop out a following draft for you to take, get some eyes on and make sure you feel comfortable. I see a hand up in online. Yeah.
So thank you guys, and I really enjoy just listening to the discussion. Thanks to the Retail Council as always for leading the entire retail, you know, state and this retail theft. I had two kind of quick questions. I guess my first thing is that are the commissioners and the Business Community Economic Development Council concerned that if there's a huge surge in retail theft reporting, that Douglas County is going to be, you know, be one of those zip codes or the four or five zip codes that you have for from insurance purposes, similar to like how I have to pay more for my car insurance, because retail theft of cars, like in Denver, is way more. And secondly, like for crime, so say there's inventory reconciliation at the end of a week or end of 2 weeks, and you account for 2.5-3% shrink loss, which is not uncommon in, you know, convenience stores and so forth. I guess what's the mechanism for reporting something that you don't actually discover until maybe 2 or 3 weeks after it kind of occurred? And I kind of just, but first off, I just want to thank both the sheriff, the DA, any business owner would love to be in this room listening to you guys defend retailers. I'm just trying to think like through the metrics of those two types of things.
Yeah, I mean, if deterrence works like we hope it will, the insurance premiums will eventually go down. And that shrinkage on the flip side will also decrease because people are less likely to commit those crimes. We're looking at the long view. I don't think it's going to happen overnight. And I don't want to make this sound like it's a overnight perfect solution. There is no perfect solution. It is a large community-wide deterrent that will hopefully make a lot of headway in terms of supporting you over time. I think really good. Anybody else had answers on those questions?
No, I think obviously if you don't have a suspect and you just have 2-3% of shrinkage, that would be a great example of an online report. We have the information, you've done your due diligence, and we're good.
And just to make sure I understand the language properly, and Jeff, if you could clarify, the whole point of the deadline for reporting is when you become aware of it. So you do a 2-week audit and you come up with a 2-3% shrinkage, that is the moment you have become aware of it. Which does lead me to really want to ask a question, and specifically to the Retail Council. This isn't the longest ordinance. I think this is definitely not the longest piece of law that my colleague Kevin has ever seen. But it's the same token. I think it's unrealistic for us to expect you're going to print out this ordinance and walk it around to every one of your store managers and say, read that, know it, love it. Okay. Would it be helpful specifically for the Retail Council to push out to the members really bullet points of what are the high points of what would constitute appropriate compliance? And so, a page, 2 pages if it's necessary, that if you guys have that, you can feel confident on doing business in Douglas County without feeling like you're being set up for failure. Would that be helpful?
I mean, I think it would be extremely helpful to have the intent laid out clearly and so that stores feel like they can comply easily and with the full knowledge of exactly what the goals and intent and the legal ease are. Not everyone's an attorney, and some of these are harder to read. I think as long as we are able to work on some of the language and get to a place of support, that we'd be more than happy to do that with our folks as well.
I would take it one step further and say if we can incorporate it as part of the language, right, in the legislation, it supersedes all of us, right? If we're not in these positions at some point, to say this was the intent of the legislation as it was passed.
We can include intent, and we can also include an educational poster if that's required, like you do in OSHA and everything else. Like, it is your duty under Colorado law to do this. We can have that in there as well. Just because I have the floor for half a second, this doesn't need to be the end. So I think I see everyone's their notes down. We have second reading scheduled for next Tuesday. It is going to be continued. It won't be done. We need to have additional conversations with other groups that are interested in talking about this. But if you have ideas, myself, and I don't believe that the commissioners have ever ran a retail store, so we don't know how to do this. You do, and that's why we have the first and second reading kind of set up. Please contact the commissioners, contact myself. My email is very simple. It's J, the letter J, Garcia at Douglas.co.us. You can also just Google County Attorney and I'll pop up that way too. But if you have ideas, send it to us. Because as you're talking, I was writing down nuisance, I was writing down all these things, and they will make their way in and the commissioners will consider those things.
You know, we're about 18 minutes over time, but I think it was a good use of our time to continue the discussion. If it is of interest to the Retail Council to convene again and have further discussion after you see the second draft,
sure.
We're pleased to do that. Okay. Anything else for the good of the order? All right. Thank you so much for your time, everybody. Thanks, everyone online. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Katie, I can't imagine how busy you are this week. Thanks.
Real fun. So, talk about this issue too, you know. So.
Second.
Oh, thank you.